Well, we are thankful for many things. Thankful for our salvation, thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, thankful for the blessings that he gives. And I agree we should also be thankful for the difficulties in life. How many of you are thankful, don't raise your hands, but how many of you are thankful for the pandemic? You say, well, no, I'm not thankful for the pandemic, but because I'm never thankful when people get sick, and I'm certainly not thankful when people die. But perhaps God has permitted the pandemic to awaken his church and to strengthen our faith. So in a sense, we should be thankful for the difficulties that we encounter in life. And every church, and for that matter, every school that I know of, has struggled with the issues related to the pandemic. It has been perplexing and difficult for one and all. And a few years ago, who would have believed that a pandemic could wreak such havoc in the churches? It has resulted in discord and division among the people of God everywhere. I don't know a church or a school that hasn't been touched by the difficulties of this pandemic. And as I was thinking about this, I went to Ephesians chapter 4, and turn in your Bibles just to the opening verses here, because this is an overriding truth in all the difficulties of life and all the blessings of life. But let me read this passage. Ephesians 4, I want to just read verses 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, with all humility and gentleness, with long suffering, with patience, bearing with one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is an overriding principle in the Christian life. It's saying, this is how we walk. We walk worthy of the calling. What is this calling? Well, God has called us to salvation. He has called us to himself. He's called us to holiness. He's called us to glory. He's called us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, in everything that happens in all of the Christian life, in all of the walk, walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. And then he tells us how in verse 2, with a purpose in verse 3. Walk, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's a great challenge. I can tell you some of the things that I've learned during the pandemic. Very practical things I've learned. I've learned that Christians can wear a mask to the glory of God. I've learned that Christians cannot wear a mask to the glory of God. I've learned that Christians can be vaccinated to the glory of God. I've learned that Christians can also not be vaccinated to the glory of God. And I can give biblical arguments for both of those instances, both of those options. But none of these issues should negate God's command to walk worthy of the calling with which we have been called. Enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That is the great challenge. In all of life, everyone is always under the authority of God. And as I've studied the Word of God, I've found that there are certain domains that God has given to us in order for us to live. And when I say domains, I mean a domain is a sort of this category that God creates, and then he regulates that. And the first domain you find is the domain of us being a person. You find that in creation. God made us in the image and likeness of God. And he made us with something that God does not possess. Since we are a creature, we stand apart from God, so to speak, and we have the power of contrary choice. God does not have the power of contrary choice because he can only choose what, according to his nature, that which is good. But he gave us the possibility to turn and walk away. And Adam indeed turned and walked away from God, and he sinned. And all humanity sinned in him and has been sinning ever since. But we're still a creature made in the image and likeness of God, made with certain really rights, but not just rights, but rights and with duties. He's made us with rights to be a person and to function as a person. He's given us the rights to think. He's given us the rights to do what he has commanded us to do. God said when he created man, I want you to fill the earth and I want you to subdue it. You are kings over the whole of this earth, king and queen, over all of God's creation. And I've given you the right to rule. But God says there's a tree over here that will remind you, you don't have the right to rule over me. But rather, I command you and you must obey. And so God made us to be persons, to exercise wisdom, to walk in the truth. In Genesis chapter 2, God formed the family. It's his organization. It's his domain. And with the family, you have husband and wife. And he not only made the domain of husband and wife, and every husband and wife and every marriage, Christian or non-Christian, every marriage is God's domain. And he ordered it. And throughout the Old Testament, we're finding how children are to function in this family unit and how fathers and mothers, husbands and wives are to function in this domain. You come to chapter 9, you have another domain. Chapter 9 all the way down through chapter 11. That domain is the domain of the state. The state belongs to God. He put the leaders in control. Every leader is appointed by God. The good and mostly the bad ones. But all of them are put in position of power and authority by God. And he regulates how the state is to function. And every leader is accountable to God for the function of the state. Then you come to the New Testament. God has formed the church. And he regulates the church. Jesus Christ is head of the church. And he appoints leaders. And these are the domains of God. You can say the person is a domain of God. The family, the state, and the church. And all of these domains operate under the domain of God, are accountable and responsible to him. And in a perfect world, they would function in perfect harmony together. But here's the problem. We don't live in a perfect world. We don't live in a perfect world. And we are members of every single one of these domains. We are persons. We belong to a family. We belong to a state. And we belong to the church. And these domains in history have often encroached upon one another. It'd be wonderful if they were all respectful of one another and honored one another and functioned in unity together. That's never really been the case. In a fallen world, we understand why. So what are we supposed to do? Here's a passage of scripture that says how we are to walk. So what do? Well, the first thing I would say to us in navigating all of this is to remember who you are. Remember who you are. We are persons made in the image and likeness of God. We are Christians in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our function must be in Him. He has made us to be wise. He has made us to make decisions. He has made us to choose. Wonderful truth, the way God has made us. And also, secondly, we should always remember what we are enabled and required by God to do. People like to talk about their rights. And we, as Christians, have certain rights. In fact, you can see these rights as the Bible unfolds. When you come to the Ten Commandments, for example, you see in the Ten Commandments, we have the right to worship God. The right of the family is addressed in the Ten Commandments. We are to honor, children are to honor their father and mother, and there's to be no adultery. We have the right to life, for there's to be no murder. We have the right to own property, because the text says that we are not to steal and we are not to covet. And if we don't own something, nobody can steal from us because it would belong to everybody. You'd just be taking whatever is. But you can see that we have certain rights. The American founding fathers sought to protect our rights. In the Declaration of Independence, they wrote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." The founding fathers did not give us rights. They mentioned here, we are endowed by the Creator. It is God who gives us rights. The founding fathers can't give us any rights, but God can. And these rights, they sought to protect. But they gave the rightful understanding that it is God who gives us these rights. And He also gives us with these rights, and people like to talk about rights as if rights stand alone, but it's He gives us rights and He gives us duties. He gives us these domains and He regulates what we are to do in these domains. So we, again, looking at the Ten Commandments, with all of the rights that we have, we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, with all our mind in the New Testament. With all of our being, we're to honor God, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's a great challenge, but that's also a duty. And when you think about how we love ourselves, I can tell you how I love myself. The kids at school give me a hard time about this because I say when you love yourself, I always go, love myself. Oh, we just love ourselves, don't we? I can tell you how I love myself. I make sure that I have clothes. I make sure that I have food. I make sure I take care of myself. I really do. And I also, I'm most forgiving of myself. Have you ever found that to be true? You do the wrong thing. I hate the wrong thing. I hate my sin. But if I sin, it's the easiest person to forgive is me. And the Lord says, well, you're to forgive others in the same way that you forgive yourself. But we're easy. We just say, oh, that was an awful thing I did, and I shouldn't have done that. And I'm sorry, and I forgive myself, and God, please forgive me as well. But we're very forgiving with the reference to ourselves. Sometimes we're not so forgiving with reference to others. But God says, I want you to love others like you love yourselves. That's a great challenge. That's a great challenge. And always remember, thirdly, in pursuing these rights and privileges, that our navigation of God's domains are never simple and never easy. Never simple and never. If there was just one domain, it would be simple. Perhaps not easy, but it would be simple. But there are a number of domains that we belong to. And we're in all of these. So we must depend upon God for wisdom when we understand that there are differing ways of navigating these domains. That's why I say some can wear masks, some cannot. Some can get the vaccine, some cannot. There are different ways that people can go, and people make those decisions based upon their personal choices, upon their medical choices. There's a number of things that they have to choose with reference. So it's a very personal thing. And we look at all these choices that people make and how they deal with things, and we look and we say, this is not an easy process. It's confusing. And we look at this and how we go about this. It's very important for us to be loving with reference to one another. Walk worthy of your calling. This walk is not easy. I'm accountable to God in the church. I'm accountable to God before the state. I'm accountable to God in the family. I'm accountable to God as a person standing before Him. I'm totally accountable in all those areas, and I have to, by wisdom, put all of that together. That is complicated. We've found how complicated it is. And it's easy for one side to look at another side and say, well, you're not doing the right thing. You need to do what I'm doing. And we can all feel that way. Walk worthy of the calling. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. When the pandemic first hit, I wrote to the elders at Hillcrest and Trinity Bible Church and Grace Bible Chapel in Japan. And I said, it's very important for us to come through this pandemic in peace. Very important for us to come through this pandemic in peace. I probably should have said in love and peace. Because that's the challenge. Should the pandemic hurt the church? I say it should never happen. It should never happen. Walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called. It tells us how, in humility, with gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And that bearing with one another that has the idea of self-control, it has the idea of restraint, it has the idea of tolerance. Bearing with one another. At school, the principal of the school says he gets phone calls. And he says he gets one phone call from someone way on the left side. And when that happens, they accuse him of being way over on the right side. He hangs up the phone. The next phone calls from somebody on the right side, accusing him of being way over on the left side. He said, I'm all over the place. I never can know where I am because it depends on the perspective of the ones who call. And really what he has tried to do is navigate through the middle of this thing, which also is very difficult to do. But this is the great challenge that we have. And we go through a pandemic, we should learn something. I agree, we should learn something when going through the difficult times. We should be thankful for the difficult times because sometimes it's a wake-up call for us. It's a wake-up call for us. To say, how am I to walk through this? How am I to walk through this? That's the first question we ask. With all the rights, with all the duties that we have, with all the obligations we have in the domains that God has put us in and made us accountable to, how are we to walk? And that's most important. There's one other thing that I have to say before I stop, because there's one other challenge. And we always need to remember the complication brought upon us by spiritual adversaries. Spiritual adversaries. Because you just turn over a couple of pages in Ephesians, to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That statement means that we are to be enabled by the Lord to govern by his power. Be enabled by the Lord to govern by his power, to govern ourselves by his power. That means about what he's about to mention, you're only going to find strength to abide in this and to dwell in this and to address this in the strength and power of God. We don't have the resources to do this. And he says this, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil. Wouldn't you know it? Satan also loves pandemics. Did you know that? He loves anything that gives his opportunity to do his thing, his schemes. He's always ready, ready to go. And a scheme involves doubt. Because he causes us to doubt our faith. His scheme includes distorting the truth of God. It also involves discouragement, to discourage us as the Lord's people, and to distract us with all these things that we have to address, and finally, to divide us. These schemes, and notice the next verse, because it talks about this is a well-organized evil empire. Well-organized evil empire. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. We look at this, we say, oh my goodness, this is overwhelming. This is more than we can address. I say it is. But again, go back to verse 10. We're not to address this in our own strength. Were that the case, we'd be overwhelmed every time. But we are to be endowed with the power and the strength of God to govern our lives. We're to depend upon him. So he says, take on the armor. And I don't have time to speak of all this, but the belt of truth, it's his truth. Of righteousness, it's his righteousness. Of the gospel of peace, it's his gospel of peace. And we hold the shield of faith, a faith that is strengthened by God. The helmet of salvation, it's his salvation for us. The sword of the Spirit, it is his word. We stand in the resources and the strength of God. And you'll notice, well, when I read all this, I'm just thankful when I always read this and I go, ooh, this is overwhelming. So I go back to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. It says, I will build my church in the gates of hell. The gates of Hades will not overpower it. I say, well, that's my hope. But we are to draw near to God and his resources and his strength. And you'll notice verse 18. Verse 18 brings us to prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Not just for me, but for all the saints. Why? Because we're to walk worthy of our calling, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We of all people should come through the pandemic in peace with one another. That's a great challenge. And just talking about it doesn't make it easy, but it's a great challenge. People have very many different ideas and different approaches. But this whole pandemic, what should have happened at the very beginning of this pandemic, we all should have fallen on our faces and said, God, help us. If you don't help us and strengthen us, we shall be overcome. And that's still true. We don't know what's coming. We really don't know what's coming. The worst could be yet to come. So, well, that's a very optimistic thing to say. Well, sorry about that. But this could be just the beginning of more challenges along the way. But our God is sufficient. And we are to go through this as a church and as churches. And I speak of the church. When I say the church, I'm not just speaking of Hillcrest Bible Church and Trinity Bible Church and Grace Bible Church. I'm talking about all the churches that have been touched by all this. But all of the people of God should go through whatever God sets before us in peace with one another. And that is a great challenge. And we should determine to go through the good times and the bad times by the grace of God with the resources that He gives to us in order that we can be humble and gentle and patient and bearing with one another in love. And by the way, love does not mean we agree. Love is not based upon agreement. Remember, when God loved us, He loved us while we were yet sinners. There wasn't anything for Him to agree with about us. He loved us in all of our rebellion and hostility and corruption and sin and death that stood as odious in the sight of God. We are to love our enemies. We are to love one another. But love does not mean we all agree on everything. It means we love one another knowing that we are following after God to be pleasing in His sight. That may be a little different pathway for each one of us. We're to be living according to the Word of God. We're to be living according to the principles of the Word of God. We're to be living according to our conscience before God. That may take us sometimes on a little different pathway as we navigate these things. But it should take us through in peace. That's the great hope we have. God help us. God help us to walk worthy of the calling with which we have been called. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for You. This Thanksgiving Day, we give thanks to the giver of blessings. And sometimes You give us blessings in ways that are rather interesting for us. The blessing of the pandemic, causing us perhaps to see our shortcomings, perhaps to see things about ourselves, perhaps to see the great need that we have of You, perhaps to see the great significance of the unity of the body of Christ, that unity that can never be broken. We pray that You will give us wisdom in the coming days, wisdom to know how to walk worthy of the calling. We pray that You will help us to walk in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We pray that Your hand will be upon each one of us, guiding us in the truth, conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. Help us to live in such a way that is pleasing in Your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.